Crutch by Jacob Strunk, read by Prince Breeze. Matthew was 22 years old and an alcoholic. He was spending Christmas with his parents for the first time since he tried to kill himself by leaping from the fourth floor window of his dormitory in Madison. This was, in fact, the first Christmas Matthew had spent with anyone since leaving to attend the University of Wisconsin 4 years earlier. Matthew was a quiet fellow, and kept to himself. The reason he was home this year was that he lived there again. 3 months earlier, his father had driven to Madison to pick him up. He had stood in the doorway of Matthew's hospital room for what seemed like 15 minutes before stepping in and, without a word, picking up Matthew's only suitcase. He was not mad, was not really upset, and the 15-minute ride home was not altogether uncomfortable. Matthew's seat had been pushed back as far as it would go to accommodate the two plaster-cased legs jutting from his hips. His father had spoken as if nothing was wrong, nothing was new, and had filled Matthew in on the latest drama at work. Rodney Sheffield, his father's longtime friend, was getting divorced. He was afraid Rodney was beginning to drink a bit too heavily, but wouldn't say anything. It wasn't his place. Matthew's room had been repainted almost immediately after he moved out. The tack holes were filled, and the dented drywall looked reasonably new now. Nobody really went into the room anymore. It was the guest room now. Matthew's bedspread had been replaced. The new one had horses on it. It was blue. It matched the walls. His father had munched a pickle as he explained what an unbearable bitch it was to move the dresser across the room. It must weigh 200 pounds, he had said. Matthew's father liked to exaggerate. His own father, and his father's fathers, had suffered from the same habit. Matthew supposed there was no harm. The family doctor had insisted Matthew attend AA meetings at least once a week. His father called them Assholes Anonymous, which usually brought with it a scornful glance from Matthew's mother if she happened to hear. She wanted Matthew to be encouraged to get better, not to become a jackass like his father. She thought that over time Matthew could recover, could stop being an alcoholic, and everything in her life would go back to normal. Matthew had heard her call herself an optimist. He had heard his father call her a fucking fool on more than one occasion. Playfully, of course. Matthew's father prided himself on his sense of humor. 2 weeks before Christmas, Matthew's father once again loaded him into the car, shoving the pair of crutches carelessly into the back seat, and the two of them headed to Lurvy's tree farm to find a Christmas tree. "Seems like ages since we've done this, doesn't it?" "Sure does." Matthew looked out the window as he spoke. His father laughed and tousled his hair. The healing bruise on the crown of Matthew's head still hurt when it was jostled, but he wouldn't tell his father that. It wasn't his place. The two of them arrived, and Matthew's father immediately leapt from the vehicle and went around to the trunk. As Matthew hobbled out his side and around to get his crutches from the back seat, his father pulled forth a worn, wooden handle saw and a length of twine. He beamed at Matthew, and the two of them headed into the rows of trees. Moving through the foot of snow was tough on crutches, and his father didn't seem to have waiting on his mind. On 3 occasions, Matthew lost sight of the old man, only to glimpse him yards ahead, darting between the rows and running his hands through the occasional tree. The tracks Matthew left in the snow looked less like his footprints than those of some sort of awkward, heavy cross-country skier. 2 skid marks, lined with small, round puncture holes in the snow's crust, trailed behind him. He cursed under his breath constantly. There was a peacock on the tree farm. Matthew had never seen it, but it had always been there. As long as he could remember, anyway. He heard it now, an ear-piercing squawk and the flutter of heavy wings. Wasn't it too cold out here for a goddamn peacock? Something smashed into a tree beside him, and he recoiled, losing his balance almost immediately. As he fell, he had the vague sensation that something was lunging for him, and then he was on his back in the snow. He squeezed his eyes shut and cursed again, this time a bit less under his breath. Something brushed his leg. Matthew opened his eyes to stare into the face of the peacock, a huge thing, he thought. Its black eyes were fixed on his face, a funny little sprocket of hair, something dangling from the top of its head. Matthew tensed one of his arms, ready to bat the thing away with a crutch if it attacked. The peacock cocked its head at this, as if it didn't speak any English, then lowered itself and sat next to Matthew on the snow. He watched it, dumbfounded, as it pressed its head against his chest and began purring. Do peacocks purr? Seriously, peacock, it wouldn't listen. The peacock kept nuzzling him. He kind of liked it. By the time Matthew's father realized his son wasn't behind him, the peacock had left, and Matthew had clambered back to his feet, pulling himself up on the nearest Christmas tree. When he hobbled up to his father, the man simply nodded and then pointed at one of the pines.
That one. Isn't she a beauty?
Matthew lost his virginity his freshman year of college. There was a girl on his block named Stephanie, with an F, not a PH, damn it, who gave him hand jobs and once a blowjob over a couple months his junior year. She was 3 days younger than he. They had once celebrated their birthday together, but they never had sex. The girl who finally took his virginity with all the resolve of one taking an apple out of a fruit dish was named Carly, or Christy, or Christine. He couldn't remember. He had been very drunk. It was his first time being very drunk, though certainly it would not be his last time. He was 18 and a virgin, and she was 21 and not. When Matthew realized the next day what had happened, a small little part of him, the part that had held sex and love and making love and having sex a very high regard indeed, died an unimportant, rather anticlimactic death. Very soon after, Matthew began having sex a lot, very often drunk, and very often with girls named Carly or Christy or Christine. Once he had sex with two girls at the same time. He didn't know it was possible, but was pretty sure it was, since he was pretty sure he had done it, and was almost positive that both of them were named Christy, but with different spellings. One of them was Christy, with a K. One of the girls with whom Matthew had had sex was named Carmen. She called him in October to tell him that she had hepatitis and that he should get tested. Matthew hung up without asking how she was, other than having hepatitis, and went immediately to the campus health office. He tested negative. Upon his return to his dorm, Matthew stripped off his clothes, typed a cursory email to his Philosophy 101 professor apologetically letting him know that he would not be present at the next day's lecture, then flung himself naked into the night through an open window next to his computer. He had expected to land with a thud and take that last dry sound with him into the unknown. Instead, he landed with a sort of wet smacking sound and a very thick crack. The cracking sound was his legs. Both of them. He suddenly realized he was alive and cold. What the hell happened to you? His father, as he finally noticed that Matthew's jacket was crusted with snow.
Nothing, I fell.
You fell?
I fell.
Where?
Back there.
When?
Just now.
You fell?
I fell, back there, just now.
You fell?
Yes.
His father shrugged, then knelt and began sawing at the trunk of the tree. When they got home, his father once again jumped out of the car and rushed away, this time to the front door. He swung it open and shouted something inside as Matthew raised himself slowly from his seat and out of the car. His father rushed past him again, almost knocking him over, and began to untie the twine holding the tree in the car's trunk.
Go inside and tell your mother what a beauty we got this year. I can handle it.
Matthew got his crutches and went inside.
I'm baking a pie, Maddie.
His mother insisted on calling him Maddie. She always had.
Smells good.
Well, I'm glad. Tonight we can eat pie and drink eggnog, and decorate the wonderful tree you two found.
Yep.
He took off his jacket, hung it, and headed for the stairs.
When did he say that?
Matthew had not turned to her, but had stopped at the foot of the stairway.
Just now.
Oh. He began to ascend.
Are you okay?
I'm fine, I just fell.
Oh.
Okay. He swung his leg up onto the second stair. It was hard getting upstairs when he couldn't bend your knees. His mother had wanted to fix the couch as a bed for him while his legs healed. He said he'd rather deal with the stairs twice a day.
What's this?
His mother was looking at his jacket. Matthew followed her gaze as she plucked a large blue feather from one of the pockets.
That's a feather, Mom. I can see it's a feather. Where did it come from?
It came from a bird, Mom. A big, blue bird.
She studied it. He watched her. She turned the feather over in her hands, watching the light refract and shimmer on it.
A bird. A feather. She was speaking to herself.
As Matthew watched, she tucked the feather back into the pocket and turned for the kitchen to finish baking her pie.